Hello and welcome to Stories of Success. This is Season 3. Stories of Success is a listening experience for your personal development, where I, Volker Baluder, as your host, interview people from Europe and in Europe who know a thing or two about success. Enjoy this conversation and the journey, and of course, this week's episode. For more information about me and the latest info about my book, about success, about coaching, about personal development, please visit www.storiesofsuccess.fm or look me up on LinkedIn. I'm easy to be found. I'm also on Twitter under @Baluder. You find me if you search for me, really. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Please enjoy. So this week's podcast is with an old friend of mine and former colleague, Luis Esteban. So he's based in Spain, and we literally just prior to the recording talked about, because I'm turning this podcast around very quickly. It's unprecedented times. We're living in times of coronavirus, which, you know, of course we will speak about, but we don't want to make it a topic of the podcast. So I don't often ask colleagues actually to be on the podcast, but with Louis, when we first met actually last year, we really hit it off and had so many things in common. He now changed employers. I started my own business. So we decided to record this episode. And if I say the time is now, and Luis is now a CEO of Initiative Spain, an ad agency. So he can talk about that. As in form of an intro, if I look at his bio, I mean, it reads like a dream profile. I mean, successful entrepreneur, business person, digital CEO. You know, he loves mobile, e-commerce, social media. He has worked in digital. He focused on Google, Amazon, Facebook ecosystem. Awarded as Executive of the Year 2018 in the Bing Europe and APAC Awards, you know, amongst 700 agencies. And two times included in the 100 Most Influential Under 40 in Spain by GQ. What else to say? I mean, he loves playing golf. He has a lovely family, and he's an amazing guy. And he's already here. So welcome to my podcast, Luis.
Hey, Volker. You know, great. I'm so proud to have here. You know, I couldn't even remember about this GQ. You know, list of the top 100 people. You know, that was really, really far ago.
There we go.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a real pleasure. Even we are, you know, in so special times right now. I do think that's what when we needed to a step forward and continue with a regular business life. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess it is business as usual, right? We want to be there. We want to be here for our clients, of course, you know, and if I say the show needs to go on, right? I mean, my podcast, as I say, I normally leave it a couple of weeks. But if I say due to backlog and changes, of course, as well, because of the situation, we're turning this around. So it's, you know, it goes live as early as next week, which is also exciting for me. Luis, do you want to start maybe with a short intro, if I say, to yourself, and if I say what you do, who you are, and then we take it from there?
All right, that sounds absolutely great. Well, actually, thank you very much for the comments about this dream CV at Dream Provide, which is absolutely, I completely disagree. Okay, I think I'm a hard worker and a very entrepreneurial person. That's it. And, you know, coming back from the beginning, you know, I have been very focused always in launching new ventures or in developing new ventures for parties. Okay, always related to the digital world. I start, I will not say when, you know, launching DoubleClick in Spain, not the DoubleClick we know today, the before Google DoubleClick, then create my own investment fund, okay, around the year 2000 and been very impacted by the 9/11 and the Twin Towers effect and all the bubble that explode in the middle of this beginning of digital development. After launching this venture capital firm, I get into the mobile world, which I worked for several years, and was very, very lucky to work for a fantastic German group called Bertelsmann, okay, which I have been very, very proud to work with such a bunch of fantastic people around the world of mobile, about the world of developing video games, developing streaming platforms. You know, it was a great, great time. And, you know, after that, and I came back to the agency world and went through three different, but also fantastic experiences. First of all, I worked for a French company today called Artifact. It's a French a media agency focused on digital. And, you know, I had to launch their operations in Spain and do the merge of one of their acquisitions. So it was a fantastic experience. After that, I had the chance to join a fantastic group called Dentsu. That's where we met Volker.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was the proud CEO of iProspect in Spain, which is the digital and performance marketing arm of Dentsu across the world. There were some also 7 years of fantastic job, fantastic people, and great clients, great products. And now, you know, moves, and I had the chance to join a new venture, which really, really some great challenge for me at exciting moments, which is I joined the IPG Video Brands Group as a managing director of Initiative Spain. And, you know, I'm here only for 2 months. So, you know, it's a very exciting moment, very tough because of the last week's, even days, developments. But, you know, I'm 100% sure that I did the right decision and that I did the right challenge for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as I say, it sounds like a dream CV and a dream career, I guess, from your point of view as well, in terms of what, you know, I mean, I know you enjoy digital. And, you know, I believe when we last spoke, you said you're now also moving into TV. So it's, you know, you broaden your horizon, if I say literally with every job, you're getting more and more experience across the whole media landscape, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to tell you that what I'm doing right now, it's much more fun, which is very important too. You know, it's amazing to be able to deliver, you know, a full solution, a full media solution to a client.
Yeah.
Okay. In the past, I think I got all the experience in order to understand a very complex world, which is a digital world, which gets more and more complex in terms of technology, in terms of data, in terms of even legal regulations. You know, it gets very, very complex. And right now, you know, I have the chance to develop myself and develop initiatives across delivering, you know, the best media solutions 360 for a client. Yeah. And, you know, I'm learning a lot about TV. I have great people around me who are, you know, developing great strategies. And, you know, now I feel very comfortable talking about GRPs, talking about OTS, talking about Canvas, about out of home. You know, I feel like at home, honestly. So, yeah. You know, it's very fun. And I have to tell you that I'm really, really happy to join this fantastic IPG Media Brands Group, and especially Initiative.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, congratulations again. I mean, I think it's a great move. And as we all know, TV is moving into digital, right? I mean, now we're talking a bit of ad tech here and you know, MarTech, but as TV moves more digital, I think it's all kind of coming together. And I think I find it a fascinating world.
It is. Absolutely it is. But the fact is, you know, what I'm learning from the past and today, that these two worlds are absolutely connected, okay? And there's no way to understand either digital or either out of home or TV, radio without the other media, okay?
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, at least in Spain, where TV is a very strong player still, you know, we need to understand that we need to look at all the connections between media together, which I have to tell you, it's not easy, okay? But I think it's absolutely the right approach.
You know, I mean, as you say, right, in Spain, TV is probably more dominant than in other countries, right? So, yeah, very exciting. I mean, on that note, I'm actually curious, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to.
Tell me.
What is your favorite part of digital? What would you say is the most fun bit? I mean, what excites you the most? Is it Facebook? Is it social in general? Or what would you say?
Well, you know, I think that what really excites me the most right right now is to understand how we can, I'm really focused on the incrementality concept, okay?
Yeah.
So how can I drive incremental sales to our clients or incremental yeah. business clients, okay? So when you start to think about that, you start to think much more about attribution modeling, okay? In order to really understand what is the value of each media, I don't care if it's digital or not, on the value process of a sales that is produced in the client or of a conversion when we talk about more about the digital. So I will say that what I like the most is to understand what will be the journey of the consumer and yeah. How each media and each channel are impacting them and what are they affording to the sale or to the conversion. So I think it's rather than choosing one channel, I will choose a more holistic approach about that.
Okay.
What an answer.
I know. It's a bit cheating, isn't it, on the answer? But I love that because I'm probably the same. I mean, I love a good Facebook campaign just because you know it works mm-hmm. and the audience targeting is there. But it's all about attribution and data for me. I mean, that's what I love.
I'm learning a lot right now about all the Amazon ecosystem, okay?
Yeah.
Which is also a very interesting way to understand, you know, inside the Amazon world, how the advertising impacts sales, how the content impacts sales, how promotions impact sales, okay? So whatever happens around the Amazon ecosystem, I think it's something that we should look very, very closely. And it's a great opportunity to understand attribution, of course, in a walled garden like is Amazon. But I think, you know, we have a great opportunity to the real impact in sales that a paid media campaign has done.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with that, right? I mean, Amazon is powerful. And I believe if I say Amazon is a new Google, I mean, if we look back and you would remember those days when you still got Google agency commission. Back in 2008, I think 2008 is when they stopped. Anyway, you know, we used to talk search, you know, all day long, and Amazon, if I say, is almost a new search, and the possibilities there are endless as well. So I can totally see what you're saying there. Fascinating to see those developments over the next couple of years. I mean, Amazon has done something really amazing there, and. Fair play to them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Louis, in terms of success, obviously, we're talking about success. And I know we talked about that anyway before, but how would you define success? Because I know you have a fantastic view on it. I don't want to take anything away, but...
Well, you know, when I think about success, I think about people.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think about, you know, when you say you're successful, what does that mean? That means that you have achieved to create a team, to develop a team, to make a team better, to see your colleagues grow, to see your colleagues and peers to develop across the years. Okay. Sometimes in your own organization, sometimes away from the organization, but 5, 10, 15 years later, you see that person that worked with you, that were reporting to you or was with your team, has developed, and he comes back to you and say, hey, Luis, you know, thank you very much. You really helped me. It was great to work with you. And, you know, all your coaching and motivation helped me to grow and develop myself. For me, that's the perfect way or what I will define as success, because around that, around people, all the business KPIs will come together.
Yeah.
If you don't focus on pushing your team, helping your team, developing your team, make them better every day, be close to them, especially, you know, during the next 3-4 weeks, something that we all need to do, to be absolutely close to each other. All right. So we need to focus on people. And for me, people, for sure, it's a great KPI for the success definition.
Yeah. So when you say people are obviously important for success, how would you define so success for yourself? What makes you successful? is it just the people you surround yourself with? Like Jim Rohn used to say, he says, you know, you're as successful as the five people you surround yourself the most with.
Well, you know, when I talk about myself, you know, I don't consider myself successful, honestly. I just think I did the right things in the right moment.
Yeah.
Which is important, that I had respect for all my competitors, that I had respect for all my colleagues, that I have respect for all my clients. I had respect for all my partners and providers. So, you know, when, you know, right now in a leadership position in a fantastic group, you know, I look to myself and say, is this successful? And I think maybe it is. And how did I get to that? And I think I get through the respect and being always consequent with the whatever approach I did across my career. And mainly this is what it is. You know, I think that sometimes we forget the word respect. And when you reach, you know, a C position level or something like that, maybe you think that you are successful, and that's not. Respect is one word, and humble, I think it's another one, okay, that, you know, which is both of them are related to people too, okay. So, you know, when I think about myself, I want to keep maybe these three words together in order to define how I reach to that position, which is to respect, the humble, and be always with the most talented people that you can be.
Yeah. I mean, humble, I can absolutely vouch for, because I, you know, obviously we've met and I think you're a very humble person, but I also think you're very successful, which is obviously one of the reasons I invited you to the podcast. But I've seen it, right? And I think the CV speaks for itself. So there's your humbleness right there, right?
yeah, absolutely. You know, and another point that I think it's good to look at, it's positiveness, okay? You know, which is, yeah, you know, the famous always see the cup always full, okay? And always think that there's a positive side of everything. Which, you know, it's a fantastic approach to do business, because, you know, business world is complex. Business world is always around tough decisions. And, you know, to have a positive, which doesn't mean naive, okay, which is a different approach, I think have a positive and proactive approach to problem solving, you know, it's something that also drives people to develop themselves, for sure.
Yeah. Respect. You mentioned respect. Mm-hmm. I personally think it's super important, you know, to have respect, you know, whether, you know, it's a client, a partner, a competitor. What do you think in terms of respect is so important to make it as, you know, make it so important as a success factor?
You know, because it's absolutely related with the long run, okay? Yeah. When you think at the long run, then you need to understand that, you know, you will find people across the next 20, 30 years. And, you know, you need to treat them, first of all, as in the way that you want to be treated, okay?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the most important components of respect. And respect, it's related in the have a, as I said, a long perspective or a long-term perspective of your career,
yeah,
okay, in order to understand that you don't need to rush, you don't need to be in a hurry, that if you do your work properly, if you have a passions, and if you treat your colleagues, partners, peers, clients, with respect, and you do your job, okay, because you have to do your job, okay, that's
yeah,
something absolutely crystal clear, okay, you have to do your job, then, you know, career will be developed, and for sure, you will reach the level of position that you are prepared to.
That's an interesting point you just mentioned, actually, when you say you reach the level in your career, you you know, you're almost meant to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there is a limitation for certain people, or is it all in our heads, or can we achieve whatever we want? What do you reckon?
You know,
a philosophical question.
I know it's a philosophical question. You know, and I do think you can achieve whatever you want. The fact is, what do you want? Okay, mm-hmm. Which is the real question, because not everybody wants the same thing. Okay, not everybody wants to be managing director or CMO or sales director. Okay,
yeah,
because the life is not easy for each one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that with hard work and with a long-term view, you can achieve what you want. But I do think that to have a career plan, a long-term career plan, is critical, you know, to reach your goal, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm mentioning that when we talk about this famous word, the millennials.
Yeah.
Okay. Which most of them, have a different perception of what is a long-term career.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do think we need to help them a lot in order to share with them these values. Okay. Which is something that it's absolutely not their fault at all. Okay. But it's something that we as managers and we as leaders and we as most experienced people, we need to share with them that, the journey is long, that the possibilities are amazing, but, you know, hard work must be essential. And that means that if you follow that rules, your goals can be reached.
Yeah. I mean, again, you mentioned something very interesting here, which I discussed in a few podcasts recently, that, you know, at no other point in time, we had five generations in the workplace, right? So we have some millennials, mm-hmm. which are necessarily mm-hmm. not necessarily thinking long term. And I'm mm-hmm. I'm about to launch a coaching course, an online coaching course, where, in self-learning, you can learn how to define your values, your vision, your purpose in life. And on the back of that, if I say, as you go through the process of doing that, you also start, building a productivity system, because it's almost like you're setting to your point, you're setting your long-term plan, but then you break it down to Absolutely. Action items, and these action items need to be in a system to achieve your long-term objectives. So bringing that together, and I talk to a few people, if I say in my generation, our generation, and they have said, actually, no one ever taught us to do that. And I believe that if the majority of us haven't had that, and I obviously worked with coaches to do that for many, many years, and I worked with clients doing that for many, many years, then, you know, no one has taught the millennials. So the millennials are kind of there, oh, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know why I want to do it. And I don't know what my values are. And I honestly believe this becomes more and more important as we're moving forward, because otherwise we get a generation of people that either don't want to achieve anything, which is fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to, but they also don't have a purpose-driven life, right? I mean, they don't have anything to aim for, which I'm not sure if that's the best thing, you know, we could do for them, right? Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, that absolutely that does make sense. And when I see the life that millennials and Gen Z, they have lived, you know, it's the instant gratification life. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see a movie. I have a Prime Video. I have Netflix. I want to get whatever. I have Amazon. I want to meet people. I have Tinder. Okay, so everything is easy for them, and it's no effort at all to get that. Okay,
yeah.
And I think that we, as leaders, as coaches, and as parents too, okay, we need to help them to define what their goals are, and to do a roadmap in order how to work and get these goals achieved. okay? But yeah. Thinking about the middle and long term, not about this instant gratification world, which is where they live.
Yeah. Because this instant gratification is not, it's not leading to long-term growth, is it?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And I guess that's...
You know, so it's So, you know, it's something that it's not their fault, okay, absolutely at all. You know, it's what this data essential world and the apps world has told them that this is the real life, but which is not, okay? So, you know, we really want to help them to understand how the process is and how the steps need to be developed for a long term. And I insist about this long term approach.
On the back of that, if you had to give someone one piece of advice, besides, so we exclude the long term goal objective, what would it be?
You know, I had the chance last year to attend a Microsoft event in the Netherlands, the one when I was awarded as the, you know, the agency executive of the year across EMEA and APAC, like you mentioned. And I remember that in one of the workshops, Microsoft was explaining that in an interview of his CEO, Satya Nadella, the journalist asked him that what would be the best skill or advice that he would give to a college student that is ready to leave a college and start professional life. What would be the skill that this student needs to develop? Yeah. And honestly, what I was waiting for this super advice, and I was thinking myself, you know, for sure it's learning how to code, how to code, learning data, analyze, you know, be a data scientist or, you know, whatever maths skill or coding skill I was mentioning. And yeah. Honestly, I was very, very surprised about the answer that Microsoft CEO gave, which is a simple word, which is empathy.
All right.
Okay, so I was absolutely shocked about that.
Yeah.
Okay? And I absolutely understood what he was meaning. And I think that will be the best advice we can give, because through empathy, which means, you know, understanding what the other person sitting in front of you is in, their opinions, their situation, their problems, you know, have a positive and proactive approach about that. You know, for sure, with empathy, you know, millennials and Generation Z can have, you know, I think it's a fantastic advice for them in order to understand how they can develop in the business and professional world.
Yeah. I mean, empathy, again, for me, it's common sense. But I, you know, as you know, I'm a coach. I studied emotional intelligence. And, you know. But it's, yeah, it's missing.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. But, you know, common sense and empathy is related to people. And when you work, when you live in a world of instant gratification and a mobile-driven world, you know, common sense and empathy are not developed through people. Yeah. Are developed through apps, through the mobile, and through, you know, all these instant gratification tools that millennials have. So I absolutely agree with you, and this is something that needs to be developed, which is empathy, common sense, through people relationships.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, as an emotional intelligence practitioner, right? I mean, empathy, compassion. We had a podcast early on this season about compassionate leadership, right? Again, emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, being mindful of yourself and others, and being conscious of yourself. I find it a key skill. And funny enough, and I think I probably said it on every other podcast, when I wrote my MBA thesis on emotional intelligence, I totally dismissed that theory. I'm like, this is common sense, I said, actually, in the thesis. I'm like, everyone should have that, right? Every leader should have it. And until I then joined the corporate world, I'm like, people don't. Leaders don't. There's still people that can't deal with people. Yeah, it's terrifying. that is really terrifying. Coming back to
you. But I think, I think we need we have our responsibility about that, and it's something that we need to help our colleagues, our teams, in order to understand what empathy / common sense mean.
Because I mean, I don't want to talk about Corona, but you know, in times of this huge crisis, global crisis, right? You know, where we're literally living day by day in terms of, you know, what's the next step? You know, do we all work from home? Mm-hmm. Do we work at all? You know, do we need to self quarantine ourselves for the next four months? God knows what. I mean, no one knows what's happening, but empathy is important, right? Not to be, if I say, selfish as well, right? And being able to deal with people, real life people and real life situations. This is great advice. I love it.
Regarding this situation that we live right now, and this is something that I'm actually working from home already. You know, Spain has actually closed. Madrid is absolutely on the emergency situation an hour ago. Okay, developed by the government. You know, so right now, and I have this conversation with clients and colleagues. You know, we need to be absolutely close to each other in terms of the communication. Okay, so that means that yesterday I have a virtual coffee with one of our partners. I have a virtual lunch with another client. Okay, he was at home eating his spaghettis. I was at home eating my beans. Okay, and we were talking together. You know, and so the level of empathy and of engagement that we had each other was huge. Okay, because right now everybody, we are absolutely on the same boat. We are all, of course, people and human beings that are suffering right now. Okay, so we need absolutely to be in touch and connect emotionally one to the other. Absolutely. And for that, we need to connect through Skype. We need to chat. We need to see each other. We need to talk, and not to talk about this Corona thing. We need to talk about our life. We need to talk about our projects. We need to talk about our illusion, what we're going to do in summer, where we're going to go for Christmas. You know, we need to be to share our illusion, to share our dreams, and be absolutely positive about that, you know, that we're going to go over it, and life and show must go on.
Absolutely. And for someone who works part-time from home anyway, and I'm part of a freelance group, actually two different freelance groups. There's a lot of mental health issues in the, if I say, freelance community, because you're very isolated at home, right? So for people who are not used to working from home, right, they sometimes can't do that, if I say mentally. And I think that's another thing, right, in terms of empathy, to reach out to colleagues, to speak to colleagues, to, you know, to encourage them to take their tea or coffee break, right, or their siesta, right? I know we talked about siesta. Yeah.
Well, that's a myth, please. don't think that we are, the bulls are not running in the streets, and siesta is absolutely a myth.
I don't believe that for a minute, but I do actually. When I work from home, I take my 15-20 minute nap over lunch. But the difference is I hardly ever take lunch either. So I think it's a balance, and it takes getting used to, because you can easily develop cabin fever, right? So it's so important to show this empathy, reach out to people and making sure they're okay and they're getting used to it. And as you say, talk about something positive. Talk about the next holiday you plan. Talk about, you know, the siesta, the nice thing, right? or whatever the case might be. So
Exactly. And not only to your colleagues. I mean, I think it's very important to our clients and our partners, but also to share that with them. Absolutely. You know, it's a moment to be absolutely close one to the other, to each other. Absolutely.
I think it's super important. I could talk to you about golf, but I don't know anything about golf. But I remember when we first met, you mentioned something about, you know, you have this mantra, which I believe is being a warrior. Should we talk about that for a minute or two?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. Or even longer.
Or longer, that's fine. We got time.
yeah, 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 yeah. Well, you know, I had a chance to meet a professional golfer, okay, who decided to end his professional golfing life and change it and focus more on teaching and developing golf workshops, etc. And he was the one that told me that be a warrior, not a warrior.
Okay? Yeah.
And that's why I decided to take that hashtag and make it mine, which is be a warrior. And, you know, especially in golf, when you are yourself alone on the golf course and you're going to get in trouble, whatever level you have, whatever handicap you have, doesn't matter if you are Tiger Woods or you are Luis Esteban, you will always get in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. And when in trouble, you need to have your... have a very positive mindset, have your brain absolutely what's it called, brain, and think about different options and never give up. Especially in golf, you can and you must never give up. That's why, you know, I this is absolutely my mantra of be a warrior, which helps me across all my professional and personal life.
Yeah, I think it's so important because you're leading by example there, really, right? Which comes back to you know, to your teams and, you know, the people you surround yourself with. Such a great one. Do you have it as a hashtag on the back of your car as well? I think you should.
No, because it's something you know, that's a fantastic idea, you know, but it's something very personal. You know, it's not related to the initiative positioning, but why not?
I just thought about that. Funny, I don't know. It just sprang to my mind. I'm like, this would be a deep
Why not? Why not?
If I say another thing, if I say I know about you and I think I would like to talk to you about is work-life balance, because I know you're a big family man. Mm-hmm. How do you manage to balance your life with your work or your life balance? I don't know how you define it.
Well, actually, I think that, you know, as in your professional life, it's all about the talent people. And I'm absolutely lucky to have the most talented wife, woman around me, which is my wife, that she's the one that helps me to be absolutely balanced and focused every single minute, I will say. All right. So, and with her support, we have achieved to have three fantastic kids, okay, which are not kids anymore, by the way, which are absolutely talented, balanced, focused. You know, when you see life through their eyes, then you understand that when you open the door at home, all the business problems remain out of home, absolutely. All the business decisions or whatever. Once you step there, you need to focus on your family, focus on your son and daughters, and you know, and be absolutely at 100% at their disposal. And then, you know, I think that's thanks to you know, to my wife and my three children. You know, that's what I think, that I think I have a quite balanced personal and professional life, which helped me to completely unplug when I reach home.
So I think, you know, as I said to you before, it's you know, it's so challenging to balance these two. And if you're very busy and so successful like you are, I think you're managing so well. So it's a secret, really. If I say a strong wife, a supporting wife, and leaving work at the doorstep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, and also, you know, have hobbies. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I love golf, which is a family sport. I have a fantastic group of friends, which, you know, help me to travel around the world, playing golf, traveling with my family. You know, I love football and I love Real Madrid. You know, so it's, you know, I think it's very important to have a balanced life in terms of hobbies too, and opportunities to let your brain dream and enjoy with whatever sports, movie, music, or book.
Yeah, that's. I think that's very, very true. Because most of us don't, right? If I say most of us, I kind of, you know, kind of like looking at my life, and I always have hobbies, but I kind of almost seeking new hobbies, trying to think, you know, I need to get away from the screen, right? I mean, we're spending so much time in front of the screen, and then my hobbies are, you know, usually screen related, which isn't good. So,
you know, I mean, goals.
You know, I have a new challenge, which I started last year, and I'm not very happy how it's developing, but I think this Corona thing will help me to improve, which is electric guitar.
All right, okay.
Okay, yeah, well, one of my dreams was to learn how to play electric guitar, and I did very small baby steps a year ago, and, you know, then a lot of work come around, and it was quite difficult to put that into the agenda, to continue with my electric guitar classes and developing. And yeah. I think right now, during the next 4 weeks, for sure I will be able to using a headphones for sure, because then if not, my family will get mad. But you know, I'm very enthusiastic about having this chance to continue with my electric guitar challenge.
Yeah, I mean, every situation has a silver lining, right? And I actually wrote that post, so it goes live next week, early next week, about working from home, right? If you're like me and you normally have a 3-hour commute over the day, once all of a sudden you have 3 hours time to, you know, to just have time for your hobbies, as you say, mm-hmm. right? Or you know, maybe read a little bit more or spend more time with the family, whatever, you know, makes you happy.
Exactly.
And yeah, so there's a silver lining, and you get a hold of more people, because a lot of people are, you know, stop traveling, they don't hang around airports, they're wasting less time.
Yeah.
They have more time to be around. So yeah, testing times,
yeah.
Full of opportunity, full of anxiety, but you know, we always have to look at the bright side of life, as you would say as well, I think, and see how we move on.
And be a warrior.
Exactly, be a warrior. Lewis, thank you so much for your time. I know you're very pressed for time today as well. So the more I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me about your success story and what's going on. And yeah, I don't know if you have some final words or.
Well, you know, the final words, I thank you very much, Volker. And hey, you know, we have a couple of weeks, I would say 3-4 weeks in front of us, who are very, very challenging. So, you know, focus on your family, focus on your colleagues, focus on your clients, focus on your partners. Okay, talk to them, have ritual beers, ritual coffees, and of course, always be a warrior.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Volker.
Thank you again for listening to this week's episode. Just a few things before you go. Please, if you like the show, please leave me a 5-star rating on the outlet you're listening to. It's easily done and it would mean the world to me. For any feedback, please get in touch via LinkedIn or Twitter. My name is Volker Balude. I'm your host, and you can find out more about me on Balude's Partners website, www.balude.com. That's B for Bravo, ALLUEDER.com. Thank you very much, and until next time.